Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Proverbs 31:8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Welcome to this National Foster Care Month edition of Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today is Jason Weber, the National Director of Foster Care Initiatives for Christian Alliance for Orphans. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Wonderful. It's just an honor to have you join us. And Jason, I know that you are passionate about engaging the church in foster care. What led to your passion?
Well, when my wife and I first got married, we went to college and we were majors in social work. And we had always had a heart for adoption, and we thought that one day we might adopt. We just didn't know what that would look like. But when we graduated from college, we got married 6 days after graduation, and then we went to be trained to move into an inner city community and work with an inner city ministry, working with children and families through local churches. And during our time living in an inner city community in Denver, Colorado, over half the kids that we worked with in our particular neighborhood had been touched by foster care at some point in their lives. And so we began to just get a passion for obviously the kids in our neighborhood, but not just the kids, their families as well. Sometimes we think of kids in foster care and we think of their families and we think of those families as being monsters in some way. But we really got to know these families, and for many of them, they grew up in similar circumstances and they needed someone to come around them as well. And so we just gained a heart for those families, and we eventually decided to become foster parents.
Wow. Now, along the way, you and Tricia met a little boy, Jamie. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah. Jamie, we'll call him, is a little boy who lived a couple doors down from us, and his mom had taken off when he was a baby, and he was always kind of hanging out outside, whether it was riding his bike up and down the street or just playing outside. And eventually we got to know him, and he became just a regular part of our household. This is before we had kids, but he'd come over almost every day and want to play a game after school or whatever, and so he'd come in and we'd hang out. Well, Jamie, he would, you know, in the wintertime, now remember this is Denver, Colorado, and in the winter he might sometimes come by and he might not have appropriate clothing for the weather. He might have shorts and a t-shirt on and in the middle of January, and his teeth were rotting. And so my wife, being just the compassionate, kind woman she is, she noticed these things, and she went out and she got him a toothbrush. And so at our house, we had three toothbrushes in our bathroom. There's one for me and one for her and one for him. And she got him some clothes, so he would come over then and knock on the door and ask to play a game. And I'd say, yeah, come on in, go brush your teeth, and then we'll play a game. And so it just kind of went on like that. One early Sunday morning, there was a knock at the door, and it was Jamie standing on our front step, which was unusual for him to come over that early in the morning. And I went and answered the door, and he asked if Miss Tricia was around. I said, yeah, come on in, and I'll go get her. And I went and got her. And when she came in the room, Jamie was standing there with his hands behind his back. When she came in the room, he took his hands out from behind his back, and he had a piece of folded-up construction paper there. Now, like I said, this is before we had kids, so we weren't paying a whole lot of attention, but this was Mother's Day. Mm. And on this card, he had written, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Oh. And he gave it to her. And it was, and Jamie eventually had to go into foster care, and he ended up being placed initially with some extended family members And it was kids like him that really motivated us and drove us to continue not only to be foster parents, but to begin to explore how we could help others do the same.
So you did become foster parents. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we fostered for about 10 years. We had some kids come and go. We had some kids stay, and we ended up adopting them. And so what we say is we ended up adopting ourselves out of the foster care job. And and so we have 5 kids adopted from foster care from 3 different states. And, you know, when we got involved, there was a couple of things we knew. One, as I mentioned before, we were really committed not only to the kids, but to the families, to the birth parents. And so we wanted to be with any child that came into our home. We wanted to be 100% committed to that child being reunified with their birth family, if at all possible. Anything we could do to help facilitate that, to help make that happen, to come behind that family and cheer them on, we wanted to do that. At the same time, now these two things don't sound like they go together, but they absolutely do, and they absolutely have to in foster care. We were committed 100% to seeing that child reunified with the birth family, and at the same time, we were 100% committed to adopting that child if they came in our home and they needed to be eventually adopted. If for some reason the family could not get to the place where that child could go home safely, we always wanted to be in a position where we were committed to giving that child permanency. We just didn't want them to go from our home into another home to be adopted and have just an additional transition. Mm-hmm. And so we got our kids very young, but with our twins, which was our very first placement, it was 3.5 years before they became available for adoption. So instead of at 3.5 years having to leave our home and go into an adoptive home, they were with us. We were mom and dad, and we always had been since they'd come home from the hospital.
Mm, wonderful. So along this journey, you shared with me that you realized the church was absent in the foster care arena. So with your work with CAFO, Christian Alliance for Orphans, what is CAFO doing to change that?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, at one level, we are asking the church and inviting the church into this work of God's heart to care for these kids. And when we make that invitation, along with so many of our member organizations and our churches who are doing fantastic work all over the country, we understand that when you invite folks in, there is an initial excitement and zeal and passion. When your eyes are open to the needs of these kids, we want to do a lot of things. We want to do great things, and we love that passion. We want to see that, and we encourage that. And at the same time, we also know that engaging with these issues is complex. There's a lot to understand. It's not just as simple in this case as taking kids out of bad families and putting them into good families. There's a lot of complexity there. We want to love the birth families well. We want to work with government well in order to provide the best possible situation for these kids. And so there's a lot of wisdom that's needed. So in addition to just calling folks in and inviting folks into this work through their churches, we also want to equip people to do it wisely, to understand the dynamics, to understand the complexities, and to continue and to always be growing and always be learning, so that we can be better advocates for kids. And we really can make a positive difference, not only in their lives, but in the lives of their families.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the foster movement that you were sharing with me yesterday that CAFO is doing.
Yeah. So along those lines of just wanting to help people to do foster care with wisdom and engage wisely, we've developed a set of materials called Foster Movement U. We release a new session every month. Now, the whole idea behind these materials is that, you know, foster care activity, and we make a distinction. There's foster care activity, and then there's foster care movement. Now, foster care activity has been going on for decades and decades, and it's the important ongoing day-by-day work of trying to get that one more family, trying to help that one more kid, trying to get another foster family or adoptive family recruited. And foster care activity has been the way we've been going for decades, and it's so important because the kids that are being cared for well are being cared for because of that activity. However, the bottom line is that that activity has not led to every kid being cared for well. You know, we have 400,000 kids in our country in foster care. We have 100,000 kids who are still waiting to be adopted, who would be available for adoption, but they're simply waiting. And so foster care activity has done great things, but it hasn't given a home to those 100,000 kids. And so what we're asking the Lord for, and what we're asking the church to be involved in, is not foster care activity where the goal is more. What we want is foster care movement, where the goal is more than enough. Because we believe with 100,000 kids waiting, but 300,000 churches in the country, the resources are there to not just provide more for kids, but to provide more than enough for them. More than enough foster homes, more than enough adoptive families for every waiting child, more than enough help for biological families who want to get back together, or who want to stay together, so they don't even have to go into foster care, and more than enough support for these biological families, adoptive families, and foster families. And so with these resources that we have developed through Foster Movement U, these are very practical tools. It's a short video, usually anywhere from 5 to 12 or 13 minutes, accompanied by some PDF materials that help churches know how to wisely engage in building foster care movement in their zip code and in their county. You know, we're not asking the church, the capital C church, to solve the foster care crisis in America. What we're asking is for your church, if you're listening to this, we're asking for your church to be a part of solving the foster care crisis in your zip code. Mm. And if every church would do that, then we would solve the foster care crisis in America. And these materials are designed to help you do that. How do you partner with government? How do you engage people in your church in different parts of foster care, not just adoption and foster parenting? That's not for everybody. In fact, that's for very few people, actually. But there's a lot of things that people in the church can do to make the foster care system better and to make life better for these kids. And so we want to provide practical tools to help you do that.
So, Jason, how would a listener be able to get their hands on this curriculum, these tools from Foster Movement U?
Yeah, so the great thing is all these materials are free. One of the great things about the organization that we're part of, the Christian Alliance for Orphans, is that our members have all given of their time freely and their resources to put these together for the church. And so if you go to CAFO.org/foster movement, that's CAFO.org/foster movement, and you look at the top at Foster Movement Resources, you will see a link to Foster Movement U. And all you do is sign up, give us a couple pieces of information, and then you'll get a link to access all of these materials for free.
Wow. And now, Jason, share that statistic again. I know that there are nearly 400,000 children in foster care in the U.S., and you just mentioned how many churches there are in the U.S.
Yeah, well, there's approximately 300,000 churches in the U.S.,
wow.
And then 100,000 kids that are in foster care whose parental rights have been terminated. They've determined that those kids can't go back home safely, so they need to be adopted. So only one family out of every third church would have to decide, hey, we're giving one of those kids a home, and we would be at the point where we'd be able to provide more than enough. That's not, you know, sometimes we talk about big numbers, and we talk about being able to solve giant problems in the world, and it seems like a really far-off dream. We believe that if the church were to respond, we can get to the point of more than enough in foster care in 8-9 years. That's a realistic expectation. The numbers are there. It's just a matter of our response to those.
Right. And churches need to focus on their zip code.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Awesome. So I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about foster care and adoption, you can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. May is National Foster Care Month. So joining me today is Jason Weber, the National Director of Foster Care Initiatives for CAFO, Christian Alliance for Orphans. Jason, what are you seeing across the United States now regarding foster care and the church? What's the climate like right now?
Well, the great thing is over the last 10 to 15 years especially, this idea of foster care movement has really emerged in a huge way. And what we mean by that is that instead of the kind of normal way of doing things, we're seeing churches take the initiative, and they're coming forward, and they're coming in groups. So one of the things we always recommend is, you know, if you're a part of a church, we actually don't recommend you go as one single church by yourself to your local Department of Human Services and try to partner. What we recommend is you, and we can help you do this, but we recommend you find other churches in your community who want to partner with you in this. It's a much easier for them to partner with you if there's multiple churches, and ultimately the results are much greater. And so what we've seen around the country is groups of churches, whether that be 10 churches, 25 churches, 50 churches, or 100 churches, coming together, and the first thing they have to do is they have to apologize when it comes to coming to government. Because the bottom line is that our foster care system is where it is because we as the church have not done everything that we've been called to do regarding these kids. And so we need to acknowledge that. And so I've seen instances, I've been at meetings where the heads of the State Department of Human Services have been there, and the room has been filled with representatives from churches and pastors. And to have a pastor from the biggest church in the community stand up in front of those state workers and say, we should have been here a long time ago. We have been missing from this equation, and we are so sorry. We're here to ask for your forgiveness and ask how we can help. And when you start there with an attitude of humility, not coming to criticize, not coming to tell the department that they're not doing their job, because bottom line is we haven't done our job. When you come and you say, we're here to serve, we're here to help, and we're here to do it together, then we're seeing incredible things around the country. In the state of Colorado, in a matter of just years, they went from 875 waiting kids in the state of Colorado down to under 300 as churches respond and work together. In the state of Arkansas, they saw a group of churches come together, and in a matter of 7 or 8 years, over half of the certified foster families in the state have come from the church through this collaboration of churches around the state. Over half. To think that an entire, the half of an entire state's population of foster parents are followers of Jesus who love him and who are wanting to serve him and wanting to serve his kids. That's fantastic. And that's happened in just a few short years. And that's the power of the church working together. And that's the power of movement. And when we say movement, we're not talking about a fad or a trend. We're talking about something that God has started, God has done in response to the prayers of his people. And it's a spiritual movement. It's not just a trend or a fad.
Yeah, and it's so needed. I know last year locally we had a foster care event where we tried to bring many churches together, and we did a Q&A at the end, and a question actually was asked by a local foster care agency worker, and she just raised her hand, and the panel was filled with pastors and leaders in foster care, pastors who are doing foster care, I should say, and leaders in the church. And she just raised her hand and said, what can we as agency representatives do to get the church to help us? And I was just you know, so heartbroken by that question that she had to ask that question, because it should be the other way around. The church should be coming together and going to the agencies and saying, what can we do for you? What do you need?
That's right. That's right. And when we come, we have to come with open hands. We have to come listening. Sometimes we think we know what the answers are. And if we listen to the workers and we listen to what they're saying and also kind of what's underneath what they're saying, we can learn a lot.
Yeah.
And when we, you know, there are lots of different things that churches end up doing as a result of listening to those conversations and realizing what the real needs are.
That's right. And the needs are huge. On the CAFO website, if you go to CAFO.org, Christian Alliance for Orphans, and you click on at the top Foster Movement, then you can click on your state. You'll get a map of the United States, and you can actually click on any state on that map to get the statistics. So I did that. And for New York State, where we are, where I am, where our listeners are, there are in New York 23,924 kids in foster care. Those are among some of the highest numbers in the country. But the good news is that map also shows us the statistics for how many churches there are in each state. And in New York, there are 14,767 churches. So you don't have to know calculus to do the math. if one family per church fosters two children, every one of those kids could be in a Christian family. You can be the mission field and never leave your house, really. So, Jason, you and I had talked about there's a special event coming up the beginning of May called Help Week, because fostering, getting involved in this movement isn't just being a foster parent. There are other ways the church can come alongside. So tell us about Help Week.
Yeah, Help Week is an initiative we started last year. We recognize that workers have a tremendous turnover rate. The turnover rate for social workers is really unbelievable, and that is harmful to kids. And it's a really difficult field to work in. The pay is low. The caseload is huge. And it's a very difficult, and you're seeing things every day that just are heartbreaking. And so we begin to ask ourselves, what could the church do to encourage those workers, to let them know that we appreciate them, to really come behind them and cheer them on rather than beating them up? We understand that sometimes workers, you know, maybe some workers don't do everything that we think they should do, or they don't, you know, think about things that we think they should think about. That's not what we need to focus on, though. We need to really focus on how do we encourage them and love them. And so we developed National Help Week for Child Welfare Professionals. And HELP stands for honor, encourage, love, and pray for. And what we'd love to see is the church in America coming alongside of the workers, again, in your county, in your zip code, and encouraging them and honoring them and loving them and praying for them. And eventually, we'd like to see every worker in the country have someone who loves Jesus do something for them. So this can be, they're really simple things you can do. You can come down and you can bring a sandwich platter and lunch. Say, we're going to get you guys lunch. We just appreciate what you're doing. We know of churches that have bought the local county office a popcorn machine and said, you know, we know it's not much, but we just want you to know we're thinking about you, we're praying for you, and we so appreciate what you do for the kids in our community. We've developed a series of note cards with the help of a few kids that have been in foster care. They helped us create these cards with some things that they told us about what they would do if they could thank their worker. One of them said, if I could do anything to thank my social worker, I'd give her my teddy bear so she'd remember me forever. Another kid said, I would give her flowers. And so we put those sayings on these cards, and these are things that you can write notes on these cards or any cards and take those notes down. Your church can do that, and encourage folks. You can stick a $5 coffee shop gift card in there and hand that off to the workers and let them know that there are folks in the community that are behind them.
Yeah, and that's a way any church can go from absent to present. Pray for Amen. Social workers, caseworkers, agencies. Send them cookies, sandwiches, coffee gift cards, a note that your church is praying for them. Now, locally here in the Capital Region, I can think of at least 5 agencies that would be blessed by local churches coming alongside of them. So I challenge our listening audience, contact me and I'll point you to an agency that your church can reach out to right here in the Capital District. So really quick, as we wrap up, Jason, is there anything else on your heart that you'd like to share with our audience before we go?
You know, I think the biggest thing, Sandra, is that I want people to hear this. Because sometimes when the issue of foster care comes up, what our brain immediately processes is, they're talking about being a foster parent. Oh, they're talking about adopting. And the truth is that 99.5%, I'm making that number up, but most people don't feel equipped or prepared to foster or adopt at any given moment. Right now, if you're listening to this, there is a better chance than not that you don't feel equipped right now to foster, parent, or adopt. But what I want you to hear is this. God does not call everybody to foster or adopt, but God does call all of his followers to care for the fatherless, to care for kids who need families. And there is something you can do. It might be that you're going to be a mentor to a kid in care or to a biological family who's trying to get their kids back. It could be that you are going to support a foster or adoptive family and give them a date night once a month. It could be that you are going to become a legal advocate, a CASA, and speak up for a kid in court. There are a number of different things that anyone can do. And so if you don't hear anything else today, I would want you to hear that God has something that you can do for these kids.
That's right. Thank you so much for joining us today and for all the work that you and CAFO are doing on behalf of kids in foster care nationwide. I will probably see you in Orlando, Jason.
Can't wait.
All right. And I also want everyone to know our JFO team would love to see you on Wednesday, May 25th from 9 a.m. to noon at Loudonville Community Church in Albany for our annual Love in Action Foster Care Brunch. Help us find families for New York's waiting children. We have a lineup of New York pastors and church leaders who have stepped up for foster children and families. You'll hear from local foster families and foster youth. Local foster care agencies will be on hand. Don't be absent. Be present for New York's foster youth. Details and free registration are on our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.